Hello, hello, and welcome back to Piece by Pieces. I'm your host, Ashley Hutt. I'm so happy that you're here. Whew. Today we're going to talk about something that a lot of us don't like talking about or don't like feeling. We don't like acknowledging that it's there. We're going to talk about shame. We're going to talk about shame, and I'm going to share some stuff, some personal things, some things that came up, just a couple of days ago. You know, as a mom, we encounter, you know, we have this just inner drive to, like, we want to be, you know, we want to give our kids a better life. We want to be there for them. We want to love them. We want to like know that we did and are doing like everything right, in the best way possible, and like all of those things, right? And we know that sometimes we fall short of whatever that picture of perfection is, and it's not really about like falling short, but it's just, you know, like life happens. Like, we're not perfect. We're human. This is a human experience, right? Like, we are humans. No one gave us a mom manual. We have these children that, are their own humans. They have their own things. And, yeah, so there, I don't know where you are in your motherhood journey, but there are going to be cases, things that, little things and big things, that you're probably going to feel, a little bit or a lot bit, of guilt and shame around, and, things that, you may not be able to do much about, except for, like, you can't, like, change it, I guess is what I'm trying to say, because you can address the shame and the guilt, the whatever is coming up inside of you. So, as you know, my daughter's almost 7. She may be by the time that these get released. I'm not sure. Today is March 5th. So, I'm gonna tell you a story. Like, I honestly do not feel these feelings often. I do not, experience mom guilt on a daily basis even. Shame is even kind of like heavier and deeper than guilt. I don't. I have done so much, personal work on myself, inner work, reprogramming my mind, getting my mind and my heart on the same team, when it comes to me and my life, which of course includes my daughter, these past 7 years, and all aspects of my life, really. So, I have worked through this, and when these things do appear, I know how to work through them. I give myself that time in my space, in the space to do it, because that's the first thing. You got to be willing, to sit down and move through it. And sometimes, you know, especially in the beginning, it might be uncomfortable. It's going to be uncomfortable, in fact. And you're not going to want to do it. And if you have, like, you know, if you find yourself with 20 free minutes, like, sitting down to journal through some shame is probably at the pretty bottom of the list. But, and I get it. I totally get it. Makes complete sense, really. But when we don't work through it, we just carry it around with us all the time. And that, like, carrying it around all the time versus sitting down for 20 minutes to, like, process through it and get it out, if given that choice, like, you know, all of the time, I will choose to sit down and work through this and let it go, so that I'm not walking around with, like, buckets and backpacks and suitcases full of shame, dragging that shiz around, until I do sit down and look at it, right? Okay. So, you know, that's where I am now. However, like, last week was a really strange week for me. I had, like, a series of days where I had these, like, weird dreams, these very intense dreams that felt ominous, like something was coming, like it was trying to warn me about something. So I was, like, trying to make sense of that. And then I sometimes have these occurrences. I'm not going to go into it now, but I just call them warp hole days, where I have these just experiences that, like, throw me off track. and they're really wild. But I think like all of that kind of set me up for, and then I started my period. And I found myself like at night, there was one night I was laying there and I was having trouble sleeping, which I never do. I never have that problem. Like that is one problem, you know, 99 problems, but the going to sleep ain't one. Like I do not have that. And that night I lay there like thinking about, you know, it started with this bike that my daughter has. And it kept rolling into one thing to another. But I'm gonna start with this bike. I'm gonna tell the story of this bike. You know, I bought her a bike. I bought her like her first bike when she turned 4. So it's been 3 years now. It's a beautiful bike. It's teal and green, and it's got a little basket, and it's got streamers on the handlebars, and it's got training wheels. And where we lived when she turned 4, there wasn't really anywhere that she could ride it. We had a gravel driveway that was like kind of steep. There was no flat spots really. We lived on like a major highway, like a 4-lane road. So it's not like we were in a neighborhood or anything like that, you know, and I just accepted that. That is what it was. It was a little too big for her at that point too. And then shortly after that, we started traveling in our camper van, and, our camper van, like I could have brought it with us. It would have been a hassle. But I could have, but I chose not to, and that's okay. Right. But so if I had it with us, you know, we were in campgrounds all the time and we could have ridden that around and stuff. And, you know, I guess in my mind then, like my reasoning was like, oh, I need a bike too, because she's going to be like zipping around and I'm not gonna be able to like run after her. Like I need a bike. And it's like, well, our van's not big enough for me to put an adult bike in there. And I looked at bike racks and they were $700 and I was like, I'm not going to do that. So anyway, like all that, right? And then we were at my sister's and I had the bike in the garage and someone hit it. You know, no one fessed up, if you will, but I put it in there perfectly fine. And the next time we went to get it out, the front wheel was all bent. And then when that happened, like I was hit when that happened, which was probably about a year and a half ago, at least, I was hit with a major wave of like guilt and shame in that moment of like, she never even got to ride it. She never even got to ride it. Really? I mean, there was a couple of times when she did, but I was like, now it's damaged. It's like, it doesn't even work anymore. I bought this for her on her birthday. Gosh, it's been 2 years now. And like, she's not even ridden it. And there was like all this shame around like, oh, these were your choices, Ashley. Oh, you're the one that chose to travel. Oh, you're the one that chose not to take the bike with you. Oh, you're the one that did this. But like, there was all like that kind of stuff, right? Gremlins yelling at me. And I was like, you know, and I worked through it then. But so all this was coming back up because we are in a place now where she could ride the bike, but the tire is still bent, or the wheel is still bent. I have not fixed it yet. And then I start to think like, is she too big for this bike now? And I'm feeling like all the sadness and the shame around this bike. I felt regret and anger around this bike. I feel like it's too late for this bike. Like, should I just get her a bigger one? But like, she hasn't learned to ride this one yet. Like, do they even make training wheels for bigger bikes? And so like, all of this is like swirling around in my head. And I'm trying to sleep, like, you know, it's like, that's what I'm trying to sleep. So I'm dealing with this. All of this is swirling around in my head and I'm going through this. And as I'm laying there feeling all this, I realize that like my nervous system is activated. Like I'm in fight or flight mode. I'm in fear. I'm in worry. I'm in shame. I'm in guilt. I'm in anger. Anger has a purpose. These things, these feelings have a purpose. They're like an emergency siren. We're not meant to live in those things most of the time. We're meant to feel that signal, that siren, and address it. You know, and usually, you know, like by nature, it's meant to be like, oh, we're being chased by something. You know, there are like natural things, not like oh, my daughter's not going to get to ride her bike. Like, that's not a life-threatening situation. But our brain plays tricks on us and it lies to us. And like, there's these imprints that we've picked up through our whole life that like all of a sudden activate in our body this fight or flight, live or die reflex that is meant for life or death situations, not bicycles, right? We're meant to live in this rest and digest nervous system. I'm laying there thinking about it, and like, it kind of rolls into the next thing, which I'm going to cover in the next. I'm breaking this up so that hopefully they're bite-sized things, although this is already 10 minutes. So here we go. So I eventually do get to sleep with a trick that I teach in my Joyous Mom Accelerator. It's a way to get yourself to sleep no matter what. And I wake up the next morning, and the first thing I do is I sit down to my computer and I write. I start writing because I'm like, that was wild. That was wild. I need to get this out. Like, that, what was all that about? Like, I do not feel this very often. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. And it really, you know, it just took like me sitting down and like writing all that stuff out, like all the things that I just told you and what it was linking to and how it was making me feel, and realizing that it's not a life or death thing. Like, you know, there are like, she'll learn to ride a bike. I can still get her a bike. She'll learn to ride a bike. And if she doesn't, you know what? There are millions of people in this world that don't know how to ride a bike, and they live perfectly fine, normal, happy, healthy lives. You know, like we build these things up in our brain, in our mind, in our perception that like, that they have to be this way from things as common and quote normal as learning to ride a bike, which most kids here in the U.S. do, but not all of them do. Not all families have the money to get a bike. Not all kids have a place to be able to ride it, a safe space to be able to ride it. Like, it doesn't happen for everybody, and they're fine. And they're fine. So like, just relax, Ashley, relax, Mama, right? So then as I like, I do relax out of that. And then I'm like, let me take a look. Because I haven't even gotten her bike out in a while. Like, it's buried in the garage. Let me get it out today. Let me take a look at it. Like, let me Google again. Like, let me look up 16-inch wheels for a bike to see how much they cost. Let me see what the age or the height range is for the type of bike. You know, like, what should she be riding now? Let me see if the next size up, if they make training wheels for it. Like, let me look into these things. And of course they do. I can get a wheel for it. She's still within the height range. She's at the top of it, but I think it'll be okay. Or I could get her a new bike. And those, the next size up, they have training wheels too, or you can get them. You know, they don't automatically come with them, but you can get them. So all of a sudden I'm like, oh, what was all that about anyway, right? It's like, once you get to the bottom of it, and that's honestly, Mama, that is what is on the other side of taking this honest look at it. You know, it's like when you think that there's a giant monster under the bed, and you finally work up the courage to like get down there and shine a light, and it's a stuffed animal, or, you know, things that we make into giant monsters that when we turn around and look at them, it's a little mouse, or it's not even alive, or whatever, right? Like, once we actually do it, we're like, oh, I had myself all worked up for nothing. And it's not for nothing, because you got here, you got through that, you worked through it, you're building resilience, you're building skills, you know that you can do it, you know that there's light on the other side of this tunnel, and all of those things. That's why we do this, to build up that, those skills of being able to get through it, that builds up our belief, so that the next time that we are hit with that type of feeling, we're like, I've done this before, I'm just going to go sit down and work through it, and then I'll be fine. And you know that, and you know it, and you know it. And I'm able to do this because I restored my humanity for myself and for my daughter. I discharged and released and let go of all that built up over years of stress and guilt and sadness and anger and shame that wasn't even mine. I had absorbed it from people around me, from society, from movies, from what I had been told, from what other people do, from what I'd been told I needed to do and what she needed to have. It's not even mine. I released all that. I restored my rest. I restored my best. Constructed self-awareness around my body, my mind, and my thoughts so that when a wave comes, I'm not washed away. And I'm not washed away in it, but I can experience it, examine it, extract the wisdom from it, take action that's needed, and let it pass, allowing my nervous system to return to rest and digest instead of staying in that fight or flight forever. Restoring my humanity has also restored her humanity for me. I remembered what it was like to be a child. I became my own best friend, always looking for growth and improvement and moving through challenges with love and patience and curiosity, seeking the lesson, the wisdom, the aha moment that makes everything make sense. The clarity, seeing clarity now because the rain is gone. With my feet on solid ground for me and for her, so that our relationship is solid, our attachment is secure, so that her mental and emotional state is healthy and whole and beneficial and life-giving. It has been my goal and my focus and my dream for her since before I even knew the bricks in the foundation to break these cycles of punishment and blame and shame and guilt, so that she knows without a doubt, always and forever, that she is good and loved and worthy and lovable and perfectly imperfect with purpose and gifts and giving, so that she can confidently walk her path. The one meant for her, the one chosen by her, and to not chase after people and things seeking to fill the holes in her foundation, so that she knows that she's safe with me in all of the ways, not just physically safe. Man, kids need so much more than just physically safe environments. So that throughout her life, she knows that she can come to me with literally anything, that she will receive love, acceptance, and guidance if that's what she seeks, that she'll call and visit because she wants to, and that if she's wrapped up in a passion and doesn't, that I won't take it personally by guilting her. That I'll always have her best and truest intentions in my heart, that I'm her biggest cheerleader, her biggest supporter, her biggest enthusiast, and that I believe in her. And that if she ever doubts herself, she knows that she can rely on my belief in her. Whew. Not gonna lie, I've got some tears in my eyes. Oh, so I've got two more examples of this, ladies. They will be shorter because I won't be going into all the other pieces that kind of set up the story. But hang around for Shame Storm Part 2 and Part 3. And if you are interested in restoring your humanity to therefore restore the humanity of your children, in all people, really. We focus here right now on moms and kids, but it works for everybody. Becoming your own best friend. Attending to your nervous system. Learning how to regulate your nervous system and your emotions. How to do those things. Filling the holes in your own foundation, so that you are leading and guiding from a solid, whole foundation for them. Which in turn releases and provides a way out of guilt and shame and blame and worry and doubts and just all of that stuff. And you can spend more time in love, in joy, in peace and in patience and in awe and enthusiasm and excitement and just all that good stuff, man. If you're curious about a path to that, I've got one. I have my Joyous Mom Accelerator. It's an amazing program. Not just that, You can apply with the link below to have just a DM conversation with me. Yep. It's free to apply. Just answer some questions so that we can see if we're, you know, if we can help each other out here, and that we go from there. I have my Joyous Mom Accelerator, and I have it broken up in other ways, from a small investment economically to a larger investment, if that's what you have. So there is something that works out for everybody, but just, you know, fill out the application below if this has sparked something in you, and let's have a talk about it. Like, zero pressure, you know, like I've said, my desires and wants for her, like, I want that for you. If something's not right for you, I'm going to let you walk away from it without guilting and shaming you. Like, this is a safe environment, because that is what I focus on creating for myself, for my daughter, and for everybody. So hit the link below, answer a couple of questions, and we will have a chatty chat and see what we can do to get you back in love with your motherhood journey and your kids too, because your motherhood journey is their childhood, and it can all be wonderful. And I love you, and I'll see you next time.